We begin today in Jeremiah 23, verses 25 to 32. So turn there in your Bible to get started. We'll continue our conversation about why it's so important to know the Bible by talking about the need to understand God's Word in order to discern teaching and preaching in today's church, including this Bible study. 1 John 4:1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This is still true today, even in this very moment. This online Bible study is no different, and I'll be the first to remind you of that as often as I can. I'm a flawed teacher, but Jesus says in John 14:26, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." God, we invite your Holy Spirit through your precious Son. Teach us now.
I have heard what the prophets say, who prophesy lies in my name. They say, "I had a dream, I had a dream." How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? Therefore, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. Indeed, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies, yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord.
There's a lot in there.
That's a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, it is don't put your own words in where God's word is supposed to be. The things that you think of in your own mind, don't attribute that to be of God. Let God's word speak for itself. And that goes back to somewhere in here we read letting scripture testify to scripture. If you have a thought that you want to say this is of God, like he says, declares the Lord, if I have a thought that I am attributing to God, I need to be able to substantiate that in the rest of Scripture, that this is an interpretation that is true, and look how many times I can support that through the rest of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So false prophets, nah, no good.
So relevant right now, too, though, don't you think, Sue?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
There's so much going on within and without our faith that it is, I feel, in my life, becoming more and more difficult to discern the folks who are speaking of the Spirit and the nature and the character of God, and the people who are just taking it just a shade in their own direction.
Mm-hmm. They take the word and want to bend it and see, look how this fits.
Mm-hmm.
Look how what I'm doing fits God's word.
I'll tell you that when I write lessons, I have to remind myself about that a lot. I have to make sure that I don't say, here's what I want to teach about, now let me go back it up with scripture, unless I feel like God is saying, here's what you need to teach about. Go find my word on this. And I have to be super careful because I have to be pretty careful, but I will tell you that being down this road several times, writing Bible studies and teaching Bible studies, God is quick to correct. If I am just struggling with finding, and I've become sensitive to it, took me a few times around to figure out why I can't find it. I know it's in there. I have a lot of memory verses in my head. Mm-hmm. So I know there's a Bible verse that says XYZ, but if I'm putting it in where for it the wrong belong. Reasons, yeah. He veils it to me. I cannot mm-hmm. find it. And so I stop looking. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, I get that. I see what I'm you're doing the there. There's here. Something going on, and I need to take a breath and figure out, get behind you. Because mm-hmm. I often say I can run out in front. I get excited. I'm like, woo, let's teach a Bible study. Let's have some fellowship around the Word. I get very juiced up about that. And I can run in front and be like, I got this, you know. Mm-hmm. And God will gently pull me back, or not so gently if I'm stubborn. And so, personally, being careful not to be false in the way that I would speak mm-hmm. to other women about the Bible. And then, of course, corporately, you know, God prescribes our understanding of the Bible so that we can discern and filter mm-hmm. what we're hearing. Because it's not just the job of the speaker, it's the job of the listener, too.
Again, Paul says, test what you hear. Don't just believe me. Test mm-hmm. it out. Go to Scripture yourself.
And I will often say that when we talk. Don't take my word for it. Mm-hmm. Because my word is worms. I have no good thing comes from my flesh. That's the truth. So if it resounds with you, let that resounding inspire you to go into His word. This shouldn't be mm-hmm. between you and I. It should be between you and God. If mm-hmm. you're hearing it, if you're learning it, if it's speaking to your spirit, go get yourself some more of that mm-hmm. between you and God, you know. But yeah, obviously understanding false prophecy when we hear it. Mm-hmm. And God is super stern in this passage. I am against mm-hmm. those prophets.
So clear.
No gray area. Yeah. Who has Titus 1:9?
Titus 1:9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it.
Okay, tell me your interpretation of that, and then let's look at the context of what that verse is in that passage, or maybe that is your interpretation.
Well, what I loved about this was the trustworthy message. Tried and true, we can put our trust in it, and so that we can hold firmly to it, even if we don't understand it. It's trustworthy, and in order to be able to encourage others, we don't want to encourage them with our interpretation or our great wisdom. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to be used by God to encourage others mm-hmm. as He would want it. It's a big responsibility.
It is. And you know, sometimes I'm at the end of the day, I just have to say, I don't really know what God's doing. I don't know either. Mm. But I know our God. And that's all I can lean on. There's not a scripture that says why someone's child is sick. I don't know why God's doing it. You know, because people want to know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but I know God. Mm-hmm. And I know that He loves you. He loves your child. And at the end of the day, that's all I can offer you. I can have no wisdom. And I think we tend to want to have words to say because we want to be comforting. But sometimes there aren't, except that you can let someone know. I know the character of the God we serve, and He doesn't mean evil or harm for you. This stinks, and it may not stop stinking until we pass away. You know, but that's the promise, that it will get better. Whether it gets better before or after we're in the ground, it will get better. And that's sometimes all you can do. So, you know, understanding and being able to exhort, and you're right, what you said about not from our own wisdom, but just from the wisdom of God. Sometimes it's no more complicated than that.
And it's so hard as a mother, as a wife, as a nurse. My personality is I want to fix things. Hmm. I want to say the right things. I'll do whatever I want to fix them. And we can't fix them. We can only point to Him who can, who is, you know, the healer and the provider. But I want to step in and do it.
Of course. And sometimes he lets us.
And sometimes he lets
us. Gosh,
yeah.
That's a great experience when he puts us on the playing field, calls us off the bench. But sometimes he doesn't, because he doesn't need us. He's God. But I wanted to also, if I'm correct, that particular passage, and I'm not open to it, but that Titus passage, is that with respect to calling elders in the church? If you look before.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, an important contextual understanding to have of that passage. As we look for leaders, whether they be church leaders, Bible study leaders, there's a litmus test. Make sure you use it. Don't be lazy about it. Don't be afraid to be confrontational about it. What's your story? Mm-hmm. You know, tell me what you believe. And so that I know that what's springing forth from your spirit is in line with God's word as you lead the people of God. So I think that's an important one too. We talked about false prophets, but it's the same side, sort of the opposite side of the same coin, which is we want to use it to discern those we would choose to lead us as well. And if we feel called to be leaders, there's a prescription. So I just wanted to hit that note because it's a context note. Amy, do you have Revelation 22?
Yes, 22:18-19. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book.
What's the gist?
Do not add or take away. This book is perfectly written, and there's not to be anything modified. So we need to be careful when we're in fellowship or studying, you know, together, that what is here is what the only truth is. We can speculate, but we shouldn't, and people do.
That's a bad idea.
And that's dangerous.
So if I ask you the question, why is it important to know the Bible, and the answer you're giving me is out of Revelation, what's the answer? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Anybody. If I say, why is it important to know the Bible with respect to Revelation 22:18-19, what's the answer?
It's not in the Bible, it's not from God, and it's irrelevant to.
So how can I be sure not to add or subtract, not to speak falsely, if I don't know the word?
Yeah. You have to know it first.
You see what I'm driving
at?
Don't you feel a little scared by that passage?
Yeah, this is scary.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, he's not kidding. Mm-hmm. Do not add or take away. I'm serious. So how do I make sure I don't do that? Again, if I have a thought that I want to share, or that I want to teach, that I want to raise my children under, I better be sure. And I also say, before you sign Jesus' name to a prayer, in Jesus' name, amen, you better be sure that's something he would want you to pray for.
Yeah.
How do I know that? You know, one I tell these stories. I know my kids, if they ever listen to these, they're going to be like, Mom! that's okay. It's part of it. A couple years ago, my youngest daughter learned how to sign my name. And God bless her. For the most part, it was because I would forget to sign her homework. I would forget to sign her tests. And she'd be like, I got this. You know, when we get to school, she would sign it. And the teacher caught her. And so then I had to like write my name out or something. We both kind of got in trouble because she said, oh, the teacher said you have to write your full name. Because my signature is just my initials. And we kind of both got in trouble. But the truth is that I had spoken with her, and I said I was kind of okay with it because I trusted her. And I said, you know, I know you would never put my signature on anything that you shouldn't, but if I ever forget, just throw it on there. It's fine. I agree with that. I know you. We look at your homework book, whether I've remembered to sign it or not. I trust you not to sign my name to anything I wouldn't want you to sign it to. So that was probably bad parenting. But this persists, that if I'm going to sign Jesus Christ, amen, in Jesus' name, amen, I better be sure We do that so light, so flippantly. I better be sure it's something that he would put his name on. So to me, the Revelation passage speaks to that. I should not add or take away. I can't speak his name on it if I'm not sure his name would be on it based on the entire counsel of the Bible. And I don't know that unless I know the entire counsel of the Bible. So for me, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. And also the James passage that says those who teach will be judged more seriously.
Well, yes.
So I take that very mm-hmm. seriously. I know that God's not just playing around when he says those things. He means it. So, and I have felt it. I have made missteps, unintentional. And I get it. God loves his people too much to let me run down that road very far. I'll feel it. Even as I'm teaching, if I run off on a tangent, I'll feel it. I'll be like, oh, you know what? Let's move on. I need to stop talking about that. And sometimes it's just a conviction that I don't know enough about it, or I'm not ready. And sometimes I'm applying something not exactly right. And that's a trap. Once you know a ton of Bible verses, you can just ping them out there, throw them out there, and they're not always right. Or frankly, they're not always what ministers to that person. And if I'm throwing Bible verses out there, is it because I like to be proud that I know all the Bible verses? Or is it because I'm really trying to minister to you right now? Mm-hmm. And so, for me, those are a lot of the ways that I need to be sure I really know what he's saying. And that one, that Revelation passage really sums it up for me. I am assigned John. Oh, I did mark it. John 17:15-17. Let me read that, and we'll talk about why it's important to know the Bible. This is Jesus talking. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world... Oh, I'm going past. Well, okay, let me just stop at 17. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So to me, it's very plain. One of the reasons we should know the Bible is to be sanctified by it, so that it grows us into the people that God intends us to be while we're here. So that's a very simple one for me. Does anybody want to add to that, or do you want to go to the next one?
Whenever I say the Lord's Prayer, I always, to myself, instead of just deliver us from evil, I always say deliver us from the evil one, because that names him, you know.
Put a target on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The source of evil is the evil one.
Yeah, I like that. And in fact, I feel like King James may be the King James.
Possible.
I'll have to look at it. Make a note.
You know what I love about what you just read is my interpretation is Jesus is saying we're really set apart. We're not of the world. We're set apart. And what sets us apart is that relationship and following. Without this, we're just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But I love how we're set apart. Mm-hmm.
And how he prays that we be protected as we're set apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Protect them, because they're not of this world, as I'm not of this world. I have a little sticker on the back of my car that says NOTW, and the T is a cross. And it's my, I guess, version of the fish, the Jesus fish, mm-hmm. but I'm just a little different. And it's such a conversation piece, because that's what we're called to be. In fact, I talk about that raising my kids a lot. I know you have to live, and my kids go to public school. I've prayed and prayed that God would lead us to be Christian school children, because I'd prefer to have them in a Christian school. But every time I pray it, God says, this is where you belong, and that's a hard place to be. And I talk to them a lot about, I know you need to live in this world, but you are not of this world. And we talk a lot about what that looks like with my girls, what it looks like with respect to purity and modesty, mm-hmm. With respect to language and mm-hmm. what they're reading, what they're watching. There's so much. And just to understand how to live in the world but not be of the world is a lifelong challenge. It's a lifelong mm-hmm. sanctification process. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to teach it as I'm yet learning it. And, you know, it's, but I think, you know, that's part of the fellowship of our family, that we share with each other. I'm not getting this right, but let me tell you some of the things that are helping me, you know, and we're pretty real about that stuff with the kids. I have to say Greg does probably a better job than I do, because I feel like, well, I'm the mom. I should be a model of what I'm doing right, not what I'm doing wrong. But Greg is very real with them and saying, you know what? I am not getting that right. I screwed that up. And he's taught me how to do that, because the kids are so ministered by that. But to understand, it's hard. It's a hard thing to live in this world but not be messed up by it, not be tainted by it.
If, as Sue said last time, the Bible is the instruction manual to the life God created, then the only way we can keep from falling into disrepair, disarray, disillusionment, is to hold fast to the guidebook. Imagine navigating without a map, singing without ever having seen or heard the music, cooking without knowing the ingredients. When wrong teaching comes our way, how can we possibly know what's wrong if we don't know God's plan for what is right? How can we share wisdom, as Sharon said, if it's just our best guess? True wisdom comes from God and His Word. How can we live in this world but not of this world? Only by knowing the difference between this world and God's kingdom. Lord, I ask you to quicken this lesson to our understanding. Don't let doubt or disbelief steal from us the riches you have for us in relationship with you, and even with each other, by knowing and understanding your word. Thank you for the gift of the Bible. Help us abide in it to glorify you and your precious Son, Jesus.